today on Rocking the Suburbs.
No more looking back, no more living in the past. Yesterday's gone, that's a fact. Now there's no more looking back. Except when we go back to the Kinks RCA years. Hey everybody, back here with Scott Parks, and one thing I probably should have mentioned in the previous 2 days' episodes is we have started a radio station as an offshoot of this podcast, and both Scott and I host programs. I host one Mondays and Thursdays from 5 to 7 p.m. Eastern Time, and Scott's very excellent Do Not Miss show is on Sunday evenings from 7 to 9 p.m. Eastern Time, and I may be kicked off of my second slot. I may be kicked down to an hour, but we'll have to see how general manager Keith Jacobson treats me.
I hope not.
Yeah.
Your 4 hours of programming every week are the highlights of my week, I can tell you that.
And that tells you folks why Scott and I have very, very like minds. We've determined, that we're somehow related through some sort of weird twist of history.
If I don't get my 2 times a week dance the slurp, I don't know what I'm
going to
do with my life.
And so we want to tell everybody out there in the community who may listen to the podcast but hasn't tried the radio station yet, give it a shout. There's a lot of folks from the community. You'll recognize some of the voices. But Scott, you had a great show, recent one, where you had a guest on Sean Padilla who took over, and that was so cool. I think that's
Sean Padilla from the Cocker Spaniels. Had him on for a Black History Month episode because, you know, I figured why should a white dude from Indiana have a Black History Month episode? So I invited, you know, my friend Sean, who is an incredible artist, who I had on the podcast as well. And I was blown away by what he brought to the table. And I almost just shut my show down right after I played his part because I knew I wasn't going to be able to live up to that. But it was amazing. So this whole radio station thing is just incredible.
It's been really fun. And I want to encourage everybody to listen. You go to suburbsradio.com and you can also find it through our main website. And if you want to, get in touch with us, you can do that too. We have a couple social media channels out there. If you search Suburbs Radio, you can find us out there and follow us and get updates. It's still very much a work in progress, but I feel like we've got the cornerstones in place. And I want to follow that up with episode 1217, folks, the Cocker Spaniels interview with Sean Padilla, who's so passionate, so well-spoken, and such a great artist. I mean, he's just the kind of guy you want to, follow. He's just so infectious and so earnest, too. Really, really, really good guy. So thanks for introducing that to us, Scott.
No problem.
Okay, now that we've got that little bit of business out of the way, and thanks to everybody who's been listening to the station, Scott, what happened the last two Kinks records in the RCA years?
Okay, so after two albums of preservation, you would think that, you know, a band that wanted to make money would start thinking about writing an album that, you know, would have a bunch of hits.
Yeah.
But we're talking about Ray Davies and the Kinks, and that's not what he did. He actually was working with the BBC, I believe, on a TV show or a special called Star Maker.
Mm-hmm.
And that didn't actually pan out. I think they maybe recorded a couple of episodes of Star Maker, and basically the story of Star Maker was he was like a rock and roll star, and he was going to be able to turn like a everyday person into a star. And he starred in it, and he, you know, played multiple characters. So when that didn't pan out, they just basically took the same idea and made it an album. And that album is called Soap Opera, or The Kinks Present a Soap Opera.
Yeah, present. Mm-hmm.
And it's exactly what it is. It's basically a soap opera, and it could be a teleplay where Ray Davies' character, the Star Maker, he tries to find the most everyday, ordinary person. He puts himself into that person's life to kind of see what they're dealing with. And this also kind of ties back into Muswell and the his feelings of kind of life. What is the meaning of life? And, you know, how do people get through their life? And I love this album. It's most people absolutely hate it. And some people will say, I can be on board with Preservation. I can get on board with the next one we'll talk about, but I cannot and will not listen to this one. And I just don't think they're coming to it with the right perspective and listening to the actual, you know, words and what he's saying about, you know, life.
And, you know, that's one of the things that's so fascinating about Ray Davies' approach is that he was a star. He was a huge pop star, right? And recognized all over the place and was still playing, you know, to these big crowds and had undying fans. Yet he was so fascinated with the everyman and the people who, you know, lived that life. And this is another crystallization in a very different way of that same, you know, Johnny Thunder character from, you know, or those people on the Village Green Preservation Society, right? Who wanted to preserve, you know, all those things that he lists off in that and just wanted time to freeze at that certain period. It's such a fascinating different side of amazing artist.
You know, I just listened to this again this morning and after reading a couple things, you know, doing some research to be prepared to this, and it is awesome.
Yeah.
Like, just musically, I think it's great. And lyrically, it's great. And, you know, me being a working stiff, working 9 to 5, which I don't even work 9 to 5. I have to work 2 p.m. to 10:30 sometimes.
Yeah.
But
yeah,
there are songs that you just kind of feel like this is about my life. You know, it starts out with Everybody's a Star. But then it really gets into the meat with Ordinary People, where he goes into Norman's life, Rush Hour Blues,
yep,
where it's just talking about, you know, your mundane life, just driving to work and, slogging through the day, and then, you know, working 9 to 5, which it's not the Dolly Parton song, that's for sure, on this. And then when work is over and you just go get drunk, basically, you know, you'll go get drinks.
That's right.
To be able to live through your, you know, boring, meaningless life. So, I mean, that's basically side one, is him getting into that character and understanding that most people, their every day is the same, and it's just like it's hard to get through. And then, you know, the second side is a little bit more off the wall. I think he's kind of starting to lose it. a little bit, being in this character. You know, Holiday Romance, it's like he is, you know, has this holiday that he goes on, but I don't even think it's actually like a real holiday. I think it's all in his head. And then there's a really great song called You Make It All Worthwhile.
Yes.
And it's you know, a song that talks about, I have to go to work and I do all of these things and I come home and you are the reason, meaning his wife and his family, that I go and I do this, and everything that I do is for you, and you've made it, you know, you've made it worthwhile to be able to do. So I kind of feel that, because that's my life, you know,
yeah,
I do
absolutely.
What I do to support my family. So, you know, and then there's one song that a lot of people hate on this called Ducks on the Wall, but I think it's hilarious, because it talks about how his wife, you know, decorates with these horrible looking pieces of you know, kitsch and trash.
So true, though. You know, it's amazing.
Know. Yeah. And then, you know, A Face in the Crowd is really, really good where, you know, again, he's wondering, am I just turning into this ordinary person that's a nobody?
Yeah.
I again, this is one you just need to listen to the whole thing and read the lyrics. If you have it on vinyl, it's got all the lyrics on it. Follow along with the lyrics. If you don't have it on vinyl, I'm sure the lyrics are on, you know, Apple Music or Spotify. Just follow along and give it a chance, because I don't think a lot of people have ever given it a chance, and I don't think they're getting out of it what he wanted to get out of
it. I've gotta stop faking it. I've gotta start facing it. I'm gonna take my final bow. Then I'm gonna take my place in the crowd. I know I'll get used to it. I've gotta stop acting like a clown. Just an ordinary man. I think that I'll just settle down and take my place in the crowd. I don't wanna lie to myself anymore. Am I just a face in the crowd? Is that all I?
And we are lucky as we sit here right now in 2022 and have the ability to look at it completely unbiased. You know, the trappings of where the Kinks were going and whether or not they had disappointed you, you know, because you were an early fan of theirs, or you know, other people or reviews had said the record was bad. You have a chance to listen with completely fresh ears and a fresh mind to this. And that's a cool blessing to have. And if you subscribe to a streaming service, you can do that for free, you know.
Exactly.
So why not? It's definitely worth it. And you know, I think the last song, too, is really interesting. You Can't Stop the Music. I mean, kind of says, okay, you know, this is my place in the battle of life or the journey of life, and I'm going to accept that. But somebody else is going to pick up, you know, I think the line is like, everybody's a star or whatever, you know, and
right.
Like,
exactly.
Yeah. Saying that, hey, you know, everybody's got the chance to, you know, to feel this way and to kind of go through this, you know, this soap opera thing. And it's kind of amazing.
Let's all raise a glass to the rock stars of the past. Those that made it, those that faded, and those that never even made the grade, and those that we thought would never last. Singers come and go, and stars fade away.
The sound on this is totally different than Preservation. It's not anywhere near the same. And
no.
The band is so tight. You can tell that they are just in the pocket the entire time, just with each other. It is great. I really enjoy it. You know, and they call it a soap opera, or present a soap opera, and there's actually some of the soap opera organ in one of the songs.
Yeah.
They've got an actress who plays his wife, and she was actually the actress that played his wife on the BBC show,
right,
that they did. And she's got, you know, that typical 70s British female actor voice, the higher pitched,
yeah.
That, you know, if you ever watch any British TV shows, you would recognize as that kind of the Cockney-ish type voice, you know, lower class, or, you know, person that, you know, in that period of time. So,
yeah. Kind of EastEnders or whatever.
Yeah. Right. She plays the character perfectly. And, you know, again, they have a fight about shepherd's pie, and it's funny. So just listen to soap opera, and I hope people can come to it with, you know, fresh ears.
Yep.
and a fresh perspective, and don't listen to any of the critics. Don't read anything about it. Just come in and listen to it, and, you know, give it a chance.
Yeah, absolutely worthwhile. And hey, this is one you can find in the bins too. That's, you know, you can pick it up for $4 or $5, and it's definitely worthwhile.
I think I paid $3.
Yeah,
I paid $3 for it or something like that. You know, all of these, other than, again, Muswell and Everybody's in Showbiz, I think I paid less than $7 for each.
Yeah, there
so
you go.
You can go out to a record store, and if it's big enough and they've got a big enough supply coming in and out, you'll be able to find you'll definitely find the next one.
Just when we thought Ray Davies had it out of his system, one
that's
more
right. Yeah. just when you thought that he was gonna actually, like, not do another one,
right.
Well, he did another one. This one, though, actually kind of is closer to the traditional, I'm not gonna say Kink sound, because it definitely isn't the traditional Kink sound,
right.
But it's a little bit less in your face story album, concept album, even though it still completes an entire story, but it isn't Preservation, and it's not soap opera. We're talking about Schoolboys in Disgrace.
If ever you think about the happiest days of your life, cast back your mind for a while and remember the time when you were a child. Don't think of things that make you sad. Just remember all the good times that you had. Do you remember only happy days, full of flaming dunes and summer holidays? Or do stormy Novembers as we walked in the wind and the rain? School days were such happy days. Now they seem so far away.
And if you look at the liner notes, you'll notice that the actual character in Schoolboys in Disgrace is actually Flash from Preservation as a boy. That's right. And, you know, some of the things I've been reading about this, they are thinking, you know, he is thinking back on his school days, his school, you know, schoolboy days, probably from a prison somewhere, because in Preservation he ends up getting detained by the government. And so he's looking back on his early life, and that's what you get with Schoolboys in Disgrace.
Mm-hmm.
I think he gets a girl pregnant or something like that, and it's the story is, you know, it's, I don't even know how to describe the story other than the fact that it's basically a boy who got in trouble, and what ends up happening. You know, you've got the headmaster, you know, all of these things. Musically, it's kind of rooted in, like, 50s.
It almost is. Yeah. There's doo-wop-ish stuff that happens at times. Yeah.
Yeah. And, you know, I think it's really good. I would probably put this below both the Preservations and soap opera.
Mm-hmm.
Which is the exact opposite of what everybody else thinks, because when this came out after soap opera, it actually had pretty good
this one did a little better
reviews. Yeah, it was, you know, getting a 3 out of 5 stars yeah, instead of right. 1. But Kriskow, I don't think he liked it. He gave it a C+.
Yeah.
He gave some of the other ones a little bit better rating. I don't think he liked Soap Opera either, though.
Yeah, I think was he was pretty down on these two.
C plus for both of them.
Yeah.
So, but yeah, this one, it's probably a little bit easier to take.
Mm-hmm.
So if you wanted to start with one, this might not be a bad one to start with. One of these more of the theatrical versions,
yep.
because it's a little less in your face and probably a little bit easier to listen. And I know a lot of people, they like this one. They hate soap opera. They hate Preservation.
Yeah,
so.
Interesting. Yeah, I can see that too because of, you know, there's more guitars on it, you know, and
right.
it does because of the, you know, the fact that it's a memory, like you said, kind of a, you know, a wistful thinking back on stuff. You do get that 50s element of the music that, you know, I think a lot of times we forget that the rock and roll that inspired John Lennon and Ray Davies and Paul McCartney and you know, those guys was really that 50s doo-wop rock and roll, those 45 singles, you know, from America. And there's definitely, you know, an element of that to this record without a doubt. And,
yeah,
you know, what's amazing. And you made a point earlier, Scott, when we were talking, you know, you said like, well, you know, RCA said, you know, hey, we got to have some product, folks. But both of these albums came out in 1975. I mean, Schoolboys and Soap Opera came out in 75. I mean, that's amazing. And you were saying, you know, you made a great observation about how tight the band is. But yeah, that's because they were making, you know,
that's right.
They had their own studio. They were going in there playing. And then when they weren't playing, they were on tour, touring all,
you know,
these
and,
things.
And there's
it's
a lot,
unreal.
There's a lot of 70s bands that would release one or two a year.
Yes.
And then that kind of fell by the wayside, unless you're Robert Pollard or King Gizzard and the Lizard Wizard.
I know. Those are the only guys staying true to that.
Yeah.
To that.
They're cranking them out like the 70s again.
Album tour. It's crazy. And,
yeah.
You know, this one, yeah, I think is interesting. I parts of it you can find work at kind of a little bit as a standalone, but I think you said it right. I mean, it's something you got to listen to, you know, all the way through. And I was just perusing here, and I when we were having that conversation about compilation records of the Kinks that are out there. There is one called Celluloid Heroes, and
right.
it's kind of an RCA overview, but I don't know. I mean, to me, when you take a lot of these out of context, it kind of spoils the fun or the, you know, the original spirit that Davies was trying to cast these records in.
Well, especially that song, too.
Yeah.
You know, after you know, going through the songs of, you know, despair on everybody's showbiz, and you end up with this song that he's like basically saying, I hope people still listen to me after I'm dead because I know I'm going to die and, you know, blah, blah, blah. But yeah, still. Yeah, their compilations are many. In my personal opinion, I think the only one that's probably worth your money is Kinks Chronicles. That's, in my opinion, the best. That if you only own one Kinks album, it should be that.
You could get away with that.
Another one that I would maybe talk about at some point too, as it's a standalone episode, is the Great Lost Kinks album.
I was going to mention that. Yeah, I was going to mention
which,
that.
Mm-hmm. Which was one that Reprise put out without the Kinks even knowing.
That's right.
And so it's fairly rare. You can't really find it very, you know, in many places because the Kinks actually ended up suing have it stopped, you know, basically pulled from the market. And it's not on any of the streaming services. You can find all the songs because they were released on later like deluxe editions mm-hmm. of other albums.
Mm-hmm.
So you can make a playlist of it in your streaming service, but the actual album itself is not available. But yeah,
it's a great point. I was going to bring that up, and it, you know, I think the story in the biography was that him and the manager were having breakfast, and they were looking at Billboard magazine, and they were looking at the chart, and they saw the Great Lost Kinks album of the Kinks, and they're
right.
like, what the hell is this?
What is this? Right.
They had no clue whatsoever. But, you know, it would be a fun episode to do that one. And also, I don't know if folks know about the sort of the Great Lost Dave Davies solo album called A Hole in the Sock of Dave Davies, where a lot of these tracks that he had written that, you know, didn't make it on stuff, and there were a couple singles he put out on his own under his own name and things like that, you know, were all supposed to be on this this album, and I guess Kinks fans call it the album that never was, but there's some B-sides in there and stuff, and you may be able to piece it together as well, but...
I think I have a digital copy.
Yeah.
I think somebody sent me a digital copy of that
It's a fun one to think about, too.
Well, and coming back to Schoolboys, I think The Hard Way is a Dave Davies song, if I remember right, and that's one of the best songs on the record. You get a good Dave Davies song on a record, you know, it's just kind of that, like, the bright, shining moment in the record that is different than everything else. Not that the Ray stuff is not great, but, like, it's just this, like, bing, you know, it just kind of stands out. So, because he got so few songs.
He did. And he worked so hard to try to get Dave, you know, to try to get Ray to like it and to get it on the album, you know, and his hard being the brother, you know, and all that,
yeah.
who was the super talented guitar player and all that stuff.
Right.
So, good footnotes, folks, to the RCA years. And this has been a lot of fun, Scott, talking about these two. And
yeah, I agree.
And
go out and listen to some Kinks, everybody.
Yeah. I mean seriously. Yeah.
If you haven't done a deep dive, just start from the beginning and just go all the way through the end.
Yeah.
I think they've only made one bad album, and I won't say which one it is. Maybe we'll cover those, the later ones. It's one of their later ones. I'm not going to say which one it is, but you can't even find it on streaming services, if that tells you anything. But of the 30 albums, 29 are either good to absolutely amazing, and they're all worth a listen.
Interestingly enough, if you want to make a comparison to a band like the Rolling Stones, for example, the Rolling Stones never really left their blues and rock foundation very far behind. You know, there were at times they did, and they dabbled in reggae and they dabbled in country and stuff like that, but you know, you could always reach out and find where they came from. But with the Kinks, it's a different story. I mean, this period here, you know, takes them to a completely different dimension. And there are not a lot of bands that were around that long that can say that. And I think it's a tremendous accolade that they achieved in their career. And for the main guys, too, to stay together for such a long time. Right. I think there's only one record that Mick Avery doesn't appear on at all.
And I think you're right. Yeah. You know, they had different bass players, and,
yeah,
you know, they added, you know, keyboards from time to time. And like we talked about on Preservation, they added like seven more people to the band. But for the most part, it was Mick and Dave and Ray all together for the majority of their, almost the entirety of their career.
And I'll say one last thing on Schoolboys, folks. It's the back cover. You got to love that picture of them in those,
awesome.
Those uniforms, in the schoolboy uniforms with the green and black
that
of whatever school.
That probably should have been the front
cover. That definitely should have been the front. Yeah, I think the...
I'm not a big fan of the front cover.
No, the front cover can be on the back for sure. For sure.
Yeah.
Well, folks, I hope we've inspired you to get out there and check out these RCA records and give yourself a treat, and also, you know, give yourself a chance to, you know, use your mind, open it up here. And Scott's going against the grain with some of these picks, liking some of the stuff that you know, the majority of people don't necessarily, you know, hold us in high regard. And I love that
love that. That's what we're about.
I never said I was normal.
Careful, folks. And the minds of Scott and Patrick will meld you into different shapes, and you'll suddenly find yourself buying 25 Fela Kuti LPs or something like that.
Yeah, right.
But anyway, Scott, thank you so much, man. I really appreciate it. And
thanks for having me.
Of course. Anytime. I'd love to have you. And I want to remind people to listen to your radio show on Sunday evenings from 7 to 9 p.m. Eastern time with replays at least once a week. I think we get a replay of the show, hopefully. You got to go back and listen to episode 711 when we talked about the Kinks' Arista years, crammed it all in there. And then episode 822 is a really interesting fan mail talking about the Kinks episodes. And because of that, if you want to call and talk about these RCA years, we'd love to hear your thoughts. We'll compile those into an episode, and always value the input of the community. You can tell Scott and me that we don't know what we're talking about when we spend our money on these RCA records. And I've been itching to pull my trigger finger not to buy the two I have just to get up there with Scott. But anyway, you can get in touch with us, folks. Send us an email, rock@suburbspod.com. You can find us on Twitter, Facebook, and Instagram @suburbspod. And, you know, we'd love to hear what you think. You can record a voice memo and email it to us, rock@suburbspod.com. We always love to hear your voice. And Scott, what's the best way for people to follow you?
They can follow me on Twitter @ScottParksValpo. You know, I post a lot of the albums that I'm currently playing
the
time. And, you know, I've been trying to promote my radio show called My Collection. So you'll get spammed a few times on Sundays.
It's a nice reminder.
Yeah.
We need a reminder sometimes. Folks, I'll just say that I know that now playing sign that Scott's got in his house as well as mine, I think, because I've seen it so many times on social. But thank you, sir. You're a gentleman and a scholar, and we appreciate all this wonderful knowledge on the Kinks. And folks, we hope you listen to Rockin' the Suburbs every day. And I am Patrick Foster.
And I'm Scott Parks.
Thank you, guys, and we'll talk to you soon.
See ya.
Walking along a crowded street, I see thousands of faces before me. Then I see a face that I used to know long ago in my life story. Starts me thinking about the things you said, for your image is still inside me. The past is gone, but in my head, you're still walking along beside me. Is it something playing tricks with my eyes, or just an illusion deceiving me? Or is it someone in a disguise, a vision of the things that used to be? But lately I've been going to all the places that we once knew.
And the album is more of a, like a musical, I guess. It's got a beginning, middle, and end.